represented by a Republican member of Newt Gingrich's leadership team. In the last two elections in this district, I have had 74% of the vote running on a platform which included uppermost the creation of a Department of Peace. The people of my district are sensitive to the question of peace because they see it linked with prosperity. But if we're going to have peace, it must be more than an abstraction. And so the Department of Peace creates a structure for peace. Domestically, it looks at peace in terms of creating programs that would provide for addressing child abuse, spousal abuse, police-community relations challenges, racial violence, all of the social pathologies in our society which point towards the difficulties of people living with one another peacefully. On an international level, the Department of Peace would create a structure which would seek to use nonviolent intervention and mediation as a means of averting deadly conflict. So we have to believe peace is possible, but we have to set a structure in place which provides for ongoing efforts towards creating peace.
Now, at this point, I would look like we don't have that set up here, but if there is an organization that seems to have that assignment in the larger world, it's the UN. So how do you feel we're currently what's your read right now in terms of the relationship between the U.S., the Bush administration, the UN, and the Iraqi inspections? Do you have a sense of that?
I think it's very important that the United States led an effort towards inspection. But the administration is wittingly or unwittingly undermining the inspection process when it threatens war while the inspections are going on, when it attacks Iraq rhetorically or engages in ongoing while the inspection process is going on and while 12,000 pages of documents are being reviewed. There are many across the country who feel that the administration is looking for any pretext to be able to launch war against Iraq. We should not be in that kind of a situation. The United States, as a leader in the community of nations, needs to affirm that process of the United Nations and to do so without the kind of belligerent rhetoric which, in a sense, detracts from the very purposes that we set in motion, and that is to have inspection. So now that the inspection process has been underway, I think it's important to support it, to let the UN Security Council work its will, and to support the process of the community of nations moving collectively towards disarmament of Iraq, and once we do that, to work collectively towards nuclear disarmament worldwide, to work collectively towards assuring the biological and chemical weapons conventions are put in place to effectively begin to dismantle the kinds of chemical weapons which and biological weapons, which present a threat to humanity as well.
So, as I often do with you, Dennis, I hear again the sort of sense that instead of being despairing at a time like this, you're saying what I hear again between the lines is that if this inspection process is given a chance to succeed and succeeds, then it becomes actually a step in the right direction that could be...
That's true, and the success of the inspection process is that it would avert war. I mean, that's the purpose of inspection, to find a way to win without war. And but once the inspections are complete, we should not stop there. We should take the initiative to begin to establish a gradual dismantling of all weapons of mass destruction. There is no reason why any such weapons should exist anywhere in the world.
Including the U.S.?
Including the United States, absolutely. And matter of fact, the United States, when it signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty years ago, committed itself to a series of steps which would lead to the eventual abolition of nuclear weapons. We must remember that. The United States also committed itself in the Strategic Arms Limitation Talks to building down our nuclear arsenals, and to the anti-ballistic missile treaty with Russia, towards a strategy that would eventually help to put into effect the non-proliferation treaty. So I'm still hopeful that we can continue on a path towards disarming not only Iraq, but making the disarming of Iraq the beginning of a new effort around the world towards disarmament of all weapons of mass destruction.
You're listening to Free Forum on KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, streaming globally on the web at www.kpfk.org. I'm Terry McNally, and I'm speaking with Dennis Kucinich, congressman from Ohio, chair of the Progressive Caucus in Congress, and an outspoken advocate of peace. I notice in the intro I called you an outspoken critic of administration policies, but listening to you, I think it's more that you're an outspoken advocate for the peaceful solution, if you understand the twist I'm giving that.
Well, I think that's true, and I think that, you know, it's very difficult when we feel so strongly about creating peace for us to maintain a peaceful mode. But I've learned over the years that's the best approach to take, because we want peace, we have to create peace, and we can't do it through condemning anyone who may happen to be taking an approach that is that you might even consider dangerous to the world. We have to continue to help bring into the consciousness of the world an alternative. And that alternative is peaceful coexistence. That alternative is disarmament. And that alternative is to create structures for enduring peace. The United Nations sets a path towards that. And the United States, with the great resources we have, can create a path in our own nation and reconfirm our commitment to peace around the world with policies which seek to have nonviolence, mediation, and intervention towards addressing problems around the world which lend themselves to violence.
In terms of the slowing down the momentum that the administration seems to want to have towards war and an impatience with the inspections and so on, where do you think there's any leverage to actually hold them back? Is it in Congress or is it in the citizens?
Well, keep in mind that two-thirds of the congressional Democrats voted against the Iraq war resolution.
And how many of those failed to be reelected?
Well, you know what? I can't...
But very few, as I recall.
I think most of the people who voted against it were reelected.
Yeah.
But I can also say that it's urgent. The people who care, anyone within the sound of my voice, and in the community that obviously is a powerful activist community in the L.A. area, ought to be involved in all of the peaceful, nonviolent organizations that are becoming visible. People need to get involved now. Now's the time.
Yeah.
So we can't. Those of us who work on this issue in Congress cannot do it alone. This has to come from a powerful grassroots response, and I think that kind of a response is on the way.
Yeah, and I guess my feeling is that the midterm elections, in some ways, did not provide a read either way on peace or how to handle Iraq, because it seemed to break both ways. And there was the one thing that I didn't hear enough people say is that the Republicans outspent the Democrats by a huge amount, and somehow that's forgotten, and it all gets attributed to Bush going around the country and so on. But I think that we didn't really get a read. So that there, your feeling is that there's still that now is a time when just to keep the pressure on and keep the pressure building.
It is urgent that all people in this country who care about peace become visible. That they merge with the work of so many community groups and non-governmental organizations to be heard.
Yeah, I was impressed. I didn't realize that the National Council of Churches, representing that many people, 50 million Christians, had made basically a similar statement to what you're saying and to what those in Win Without War are saying. I mean, that's an enormous swath of regular middle America.
Well, there's a religious community that has traditionally worked for peace, and they're activated, and that's important, and they need to stay activated, and all faiths need to do that, and I think that it's a step along the way, because it talks about our values, because peace is a spiritual value, for sure, and it is also a value that helps preserve this material world where we're all working out our spiritual destiny.
Right.
So it's so important that we find a way to be able to solve the problems of this world without engaging in war. Hopefully we can work towards a day when someday war itself will be seen as archaic.
Yeah.
Where we can find a way to use what Franklin Roosevelt called the science of human relations to be able to settle the differences that people have.
And this event on Sunday at the Convention Center in Los Angeles, what is that? Peace Sunday. Let me just tell people it's 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the Convention Center, and it says here the main show, which I guess is the premier speakers and so on, starts at 3. Do you know at what point you're going to be on the...
I think I'm on close to 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that I'm very excited about coming to Los Angeles once again to meet with the people in the community, and I'm certainly grateful for the opportunity to be speaking there. And I remember it was earlier this year I had the chance to speak in Los Angeles and gave a speech called "The Prayer for America," which had an enormous impact and actually changed my life and created many opportunities to go speaking around the country. So I'm. Anytime I get a chance to come forward and speak in Los Angeles, I'm grateful to be there.
Yeah, the website where people can learn more about that, and it is not a free event. There is a donation asked. You can go to www.peacesunday.org. Dennis, I don't know if you recall, but I was lucky enough through some quirk to actually be backstage just about 2 minutes before you went on and made that speech, A Prayer for America. And, you know, as you were at the lectern preparing to make what I know it was one of the first speeches from any member of Congress, if not the first, other than Barbara Lee's vote, to really say, let's stop just going along and let's ask some important questions here. And just even being there, it was a big moment. And I can imagine for you, as you say, it changed your life.
Well, I appreciated your presence and the response. And if anyone's interested in getting any other information about what I'm doing, I have, if I may mention it.
Yes, please do.
Two websites. One is thespiritoffreedom.com, and another one is my congressional website, which is House.gov/Kucinich.
Okay, let me say those two again. One is one word, thespiritoffreedom.
Right.
.com or .org?
.com.
Thespiritoffreedom.com and then House.
.gov/Kucinich. Right.
Okay, Dennis, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for finding the time to speak with us, and I look forward to seeing you this Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles at Peace Sunday.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hey, hey.